podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me this morning to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 4 to 19, and that's on page 533 of your pew Bible. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 19, page 533 in your pew Bible. And we are continuing this morning in our consideration of the call. We've journeyed to the wilderness and we've witnessed the call of Moses at the burning bush. We've traveled to Bethlehem, where the youngest and the least likely of David's sons, Jesse's sons, David, was anointed to be the next king over all of Israel. And we've sat beside Isaiah a couple of weeks ago, and we saw a vision of God's throne room through his eyes. And as the angels cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," God had commissioned Isaiah to go and to preach a message that the people would refuse. And this morning we go to Jerusalem to a young man no older than about 20 named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's father is a priest by the name of Hilkiah. And some of our children recently learned about Hilkiah in their Sunday school lessons. Jeremiah's father, Hilkiah, was a priest who was digging through the rubble and the trash of the temple in Jerusalem during the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah, when he found something in the dust there in the temple. It turns out it was a scroll. It was the law of the Lord, the Torah, that was there in the temple, long forgotten by kings and priests and the people. Kind of like finding your Bible underneath a stack of books after many years, right? And thinking to yourself, I wonder what this is. And then opening it up and beginning to read. And the scroll was read to the king Josiah, who immediately tore his clothes and fell to the ground and then set off a national revival throughout the nation. And sometimes all it takes is the word of God, folks. Sometimes that's all it takes is the plain and simple word of God to make that kind of a change. But during that time, there was a young man growing up in the shadow of the temple as Hilkiah, his father, served, and his name is Jeremiah. So let's look at the story this morning of how God called Jeremiah to be one of the most significant prophets that came out of Israel. So we are in Jeremiah chapter 1, starting with verse 4. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Alas, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I'm too young.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord.' Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, 'I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant.' The word of the Lord came to me, 'What do you see, Jeremiah?' 'I see the branch of an almond tree,' I replied. The Lord said to me, 'You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled.' The word of the Lord came to me again, 'What do you see?' 'I see a pot that is boiling,' I answered. 'It is tilting toward us from the north.' The Lord said to me, 'From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms,' declares the Lord. 'Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words given to Jeremiah at the time of his calling. And Lord, how we need to be fed these same words for such a time as this, that you, O Lord, would give us the courage to stand up and to speak the truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we get to our outline this morning that's in your bulletin, let me point out three things. The first thing is this, that the key to understanding the call of Jeremiah is in the eyes. You see, the eyes have it. I mean, did you catch that as we were going through that passage? God says, I formed you in the womb. And even before that, I knew you. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I. And then what does Jeremiah answer to God? He says, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. And then the Lord replies, do not say I. Do not say I am too young. Why? Because I send you. I command you. I am with you. I will rescue you. I have put words in your mouth. I appoint you. And so while Jeremiah is focusing on himself, this I, he should be focusing on God's I, because it's God who is doing the work. He's calling Jeremiah to be a part of that. The second thing I want to point out is the vision of the almond branch, because it's kind of a strange occurrence that happens here. God says to Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says, well, I see the branch of an almond tree. And this vision of a branch from an almond tree is given to Jeremiah. And commentators wrestle over what on earth does this mean. I mean, almonds are delightful, I believe, and they're delicious. And Almond Joy was my mom's favorite candy bar when I was growing up. I know that. Because every Halloween, I'd have a bucket full of candy that I collected, went door to door all day, and my mom would go through it and pick out the things that were tainted or didn't look right, and they were always Almond Joys for some reason. I don't understand. So I never got any of the Almond Joys out of my Halloween. But anyhow, almonds were the first tree in Israel to bloom in the spring. First tree to bloom in the spring. And the last tree to give forth its fruit. And the word for almond in the Hebrew language is very picturesque. One of the things that word means is shaken. Because you know how they harvest almonds, don't you? They take the branch or they take the actual tree. Nowadays they have a big truck that comes up and wraps around the tree and shakes it, for goodness sakes, like just about to tear the thing out of the ground. And all of the almonds fall off and they pick the almonds up and hopefully they clean them up before they put them into our little almond bags and our almond joys. So the word almond means shaken in the Hebrew language. So maybe the Lord is watching for the blooms. He says, I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Maybe that's what the almond tree is all about. But there's also something going on here in the Hebrew language. And that is that the word almond is pronounced shaked. Shaked. And the word watching that God uses in verse 12 is pronounced shoked. Shoked and shoked. We don't get that in the English language, but there it is in Hebrew. So the Lord may be using a bit of a pun here. So Jeremiah says, I see a shoked, an almond branch. And the Lord replies, well, I am shoked. I am watching. The point here is that God's word will be fulfilled. What God says in verse 12 in response to the almond tree is, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. That everything that is in black and white that has come forth from the mouth of God is fulfilled. It will come to pass. It is complete. So as God is calling Jeremiah into the ministry of speaking for him, he says, look, you don't have to worry because every word that comes out of your mouth will come to pass. Now, it's not going to be a very pleasant thing for Jeremiah because some of the words that are coming out of his mouth, if you read through the rest of the prophecy of Jeremiah, are not nice things. For example, number three here is the vision of the boiling pot. He says, I see a pot that's boiling, and it's tilting toward us from the north, Jeremiah says. A big boiling pot that's tilting toward us from the north. And the Lord says, well, that's because from the north is where the disaster is coming. That is where the kings and the armies that will destroy Jerusalem, that's where they are coming from. That's where Nebuchadnezzar is coming from, and they're on their way. And Jeremiah is the man who God chooses to send out that warning. The people of Israel, Judah specifically, have been unfaithful to God. They've made idols with their own hands and have worshipped the idols that they've made with their own hands. They've turned away from the Lord God of Israel, and judgment is about to begin. And so we read, if you have your Bible, still turn to Jeremiah. Go to chapter 25 for just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 25. Starting with verse 5. Start with verse 4 of Jeremiah 25. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord, and you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. So that is the message of Jeremiah. And as I said, it is not the most pleasant message for someone to have to preach. But he was called by God to preach it, and given this special calling from the Lord. So there is this specific prophecy of the boiling pot. Now, what do you do when you see a boiling pot that is tipping toward you? What do? You run, right? You get out of its way. You do whatever you can to not become scalded by that boiling pot. And so when God was speaking through Jeremiah, that was his desired outcome, right? That the people of Israel would change their minds, that they would turn away from false gods, and that they would turn their hearts again toward him. But that would not happen. And so Jeremiah would witness the fall of Jerusalem. He would witness the destruction of the temple. He would warn them, and they would not listen. And then he would write another book of the Bible called Lamentations, which is just him crying over the rubble of Jerusalem. But in the midst of all of it, in the midst of all of it, there's hope. There is hope. First of all, for Jeremiah, because it says clearly here in the passage that we read that Jeremiah will be protected. Jeremiah will be protected. But there's also hope for Israel, because in the midst of this horrible prophecy, there's always a little bit of hope. We saw that in Jeremiah chapter 1 in verse 10. See today, Jeremiah, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down. to destroy and to overthrow. These are strong words of judgment. But then the last two words in that sentence are to build and to plant. There's something productive that will happen in the midst of all of this ruin. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Starting with verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So how many of you have that written on a plaque somewhere or a bookmark, right? That beautiful verse. That beautiful verse was originally written to the people of Judah who were going to be brought into captivity for 70 years. And God says, look, I have plans for you. Plans that will bring hope and a future. This is not the end for you. And yeah, I believe that we can take that verse out of the context of Scripture and apply it to ourselves today as well. I believe that we can use that verse and say, God has plans and purposes for us. That it's never God's plan or purpose for His people to harm them, but to do good. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. But it's not just being brought back from captivity. It's not just the fact that this boiling pot from the north is going to come and wipe out Jerusalem and take them away for 70 years, and that the hope is not just that they will be brought back, but also Jeremiah chapter 23, starting with verse 5. Jeremiah 23, starting with verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, Yahweh, our righteous Savior. There's a day coming. The Lord says, when a king will be risen up over Israel and over all the earth, whose name will be called the Lord, our righteous Savior. So what is the hope in the midst of all of this destruction? Says Jeremiah has to speak to these people about the fact that God is judging them and they are all going to hell and that their entire nation is being destroyed and that their families are going to be torn apart and that their land is going to be decimated and that they will be taken, brothers and sisters separated to another land, to Babylon, and that the world in their eyes is coming to an end. Yet, in the midst of all of that destruction, there is hope. There is a Savior who is coming. There is Jesus, and He is the hope of the nations throughout the Word of God. So this is Jeremiah's message. A message of destruction with a little grain of hope that turns out to be a great grain of hope. The eyes have it. It's about the Lord. It's not about Jeremiah, this calling. It's about God. God is watching and His word will come to pass. Judgment is coming, but along with it, this glimmer of hope. And so this young man, Jeremiah, is chosen by God to bring this message. And at times, Jeremiah would regret his calling, right? And he would become angry with God. I mean, if you are called by God to say such horrible things to people, maybe you too would rue the day that you were born. One more passage in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20, starting with verse 7. Listen to Jeremiah. This is the man called by God to deliver the word of God. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. So you can just see the people. Oh no, here comes Jeremiah again. Get ready for bad news. Here comes Jeremiah. It's all doom and gloom and pessimism, right? He says, look, Lord, all I'm doing is being insulted and reproached, verse 9. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Look, here's the problem for Jeremiah, right? He gets in trouble whenever he opens his mouth, but because he's got the word of God burning inside of him, he can't keep his mouth shut. It just keeps coming out. The truth of God can't stop pouring forth from his mouth and from his life. And as terrible as it is, as hard as it is for him to say these things to people, he can't stop because it's on fire. Verse 10, I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him, let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he'll be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. So this is the life of our friend Jeremiah, traveling throughout Judah and Jerusalem, giving bad news with just a glimmer of hope. The people didn't hear the glimmer of hope. All they heard was the bad news. But surely the word that Jeremiah spoke came true. And indeed, Jerusalem was destroyed and the people were taken captive. But surely the glimmer of hope also came true. And we sit on a totally different side of history today, looking back on the cross of Jesus Christ and recognizing that glimmer of hope that Jeremiah spoke so long ago. So let's turn to our outline this morning and make some observations. First, concerning Jeremiah's invitation. In Jeremiah's invitation, first thing you see is it's an invitation to join the Lord in what he is already doing. Right? God is at work in this passage of Scripture. He is warning and judging the people of Judah, and he calls Jeremiah in to join him in what he is already doing. He doesn't say, Jeremiah, I want you to start something new. I got a quick idea for you, Jeremiah. He says, no, here is where I am heading, and I want you to be on board with me. Also, Jeremiah's invitation, we learn that it's an invitation to trust the Lord in what he has already promised. Right? God has made this promise that these things are going to happen, and it is just Jeremiah's job to speak them. Jerusalem will be destroyed, but one day there will be an eternal king that will rise up from David's throne. These promises are sure. They are secure. There is no way they cannot happen. And the Lord invites Jeremiah to be the spokesperson for these promises. I wonder if sometimes Jeremiah felt like Noah, you know? I'm sure Jeremiah woke up some days and the sun was shining, the birds were singing, and the children were playing in the streets, and everyone was happy, and started to wonder, I wonder if I've been duped. I wonder if all this stuff God is telling me to say to people is not true. But God had promised. And Jeremiah's invitation was an invitation to trust God in what had already been promised. But third, Jeremiah's invitation is an invitation to speak for the Lord what he will surely complete. This is going to happen. God has already chosen Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon is already rising and preparing to march toward Jerusalem. God's will is sure. It cannot be thwarted. And Jeremiah is invited by God to speak for the one who keeps his word. In the book of Isaiah, we read these words, the rain and snow fall from the sky and do not return, but instead water the earth and make it produce and yield crops and provide seed for the planter and food for those who must eat. In the same way, the promise that I make, God says, does not return to me having accomplished nothing. No, it is realized as I desire and is fulfilled as I intend. So Jeremiah could go out invited by Jehovah, the God of Israel, and he could speak the word of God and know that surely and securely everything that he spoke would come to pass. And that is the strength of God's word. Not the strength of Jeremiah, but the strength of God's word. The word of God is sure. You know, we may encounter some days when our faith is not sure. But God's word will always be fulfilled, just as he intends. So it's our job to just join him, right? To speak for him, to be his people. And you may experience those days of doubt, but ultimately you will not be ashamed if you grasp the truth of God's word. The truth is not popular these days, but it is needed like never before in our world. Oh, that God would raise up a generation of Jeremiahs who will join God in what he is about to do in our day. Oh, pray for that generation of Jeremiahs that would rise up from the church to speak the truth of God's word to our generation that so desperately needs to hear the truth. Because like in the days of Jeremiah, we have created our idols with our own hands. We are worshiping things that we have created. We are enthralled and inspired by our own wealth. Oh, it's like the days of Jeremiah. And I don't see a boiling pot this morning necessarily, but I see plenty of opportunities for God to work. Whether it be judgment or whether it be revival, we need a generation of Jeremiahs who will raise up from the church to speak boldly the truth of God. Before it's too late. Before it's too late. Well, it's not just about Jeremiah's invitation. It's also about God's call. And this can be applied to you as well as to Jeremiah. Now, God's call is such that he calls you not according to your confidence, but his competence. So, as I'm saying those words, may God raise up a generation of Jeremiahs. I pray that you hear that in your heart. But you may say, nah, not me, not me. I'm too stupid. I'm too small. I don't have any influence. You know, I'm too young. I don't speak very well. I don't really know the Word of God all that well. This is not about me. I'm not a part. We'll let some other generation of Jeremiahs be raised up. Let's go back to Isaiah, who, when God said, whom shall we send? He said, what do you say? Here am I, send me, send me. We need a generation of Jeremiahs who will say the words of Isaiah, here am I, send me. Jeremiah felt like he was too young, and he felt like he was inexperienced, right? And he couldn't speak very well, kind of like Moses. But it wasn't about Jeremiah, it was about Jehovah. So he says, stop saying, I can't, and start looking to the Lord who says, I can. Stop saying, I'm not able, and trust in the God who is always able. That's what this is about. It's about God. It's not about us. There's an old song we used to sing. It was written in 1958, but I sang this as a kid, and maybe you did too. He is able, he is able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And then it talks about Jesus. He healed the brokenhearted and he set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. He's able, he is able. I know he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Now, since that song was written in 1958, I don't think that Jeremiah had it in his day. He probably didn't sing that song. But this is the type of thought, I believe, that carried Jeremiah through. He serves the God who can, the God who is able. It's not about me, it's about him. When I open my mouth to speak, it's not about my words and the power of my education and my background and my calling. It's not about me. It's about the power of God and his Holy Spirit. B, God also calls you not according to your proficiency, but his promise. See, God doesn't mind that you are young. God doesn't mind that you don't speak well. In fact, if you don't speak well, that's the place where he wants to start. You're probably the one he wants to call into service. It's the people who are proud, who speak well, and who have effervescent language that he probably turns away from and says, you know what, you're going to speak in your own strength. I don't need that. I need somebody who will speak in my strength. So as long as Jeremiah jumped on board and continued speaking for the Lord would use him to bring the message. And when you build your life on God's promises, you have a sure foundation. You know, I have an uncle who stutters in normal speech. In fact, we were driving through San Francisco, and he used to work in San Francisco, so he took me and my parents and Jerry on a drive through San Francisco that we will never forget. But as he was taking us through and talking about the different sites along the way, he was stuttering and having to stop and start again, and it was difficult to listen to him at times. But do you know that my uncle who stutters is also a great preacher? Preacher of the Word of God. He gets up in the pulpit, and when he preaches, it flows out unhindered, no stuttering involved. And we experienced this when we went to the table and we went to a restaurant and asked him to pray, and he prayed. And the prayer came forth from his mouth, not one stutter. And then as soon as he's done praying, we start having small talk around the table. The stuttering starts again. No, I can't explain that. I'm sure some doctor might explain it as some glitch in his brain. I don't know. But here's how I explain it. When he's speaking for God and the words come from the Holy Spirit within him, the stuttering stops because it's no longer him that's speaking, but it's the Lord. And I pray that we would raise a generation of Jeremiahs that would stand in the strength of God and speak what he has to say rather than the small things that we like to talk about. See, God calls you not according to your wisdom, but his word. God calls you not according to your wisdom, but his word. The Lord said to Jeremiah, I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. You can always trust that God's word will come to pass. He stands by his word. So there are a lot of people in our day and age who talk about being called to the ministry, right? I remember people would ask me that because I'm a pastor. They'd say, so, Jack, tell me, when were you called to the ministry? No? And to be honest with you, I can't point to one moment where I woke up or where I was in a service and suddenly a lightning bolt hit me and God said, you're called to the ministry. I don't remember a time when I walked down the aisle of the church and pastor laid his hands on me and said, you are called to the ministry, son. I don't remember a moment like that. Now, I can remember a series of small moments leading up to the point where I became a pastor, but I can't honestly say that I remember the time when, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God said to me, you are called into my ministry. But you know, I've always considered that my calling to be a pastor is no more special than the calling of a person who works on the sales floor or the person who works in the office or in the field or at the construction site. Because I believe that we are all called by God to the ministry, no matter where we are. Now, you might not get paid for that ministry, but you are called by God to be his minister. You are his men and his women and his boys and girls in the world, wherever he sends you. And that is your calling. You are called by God. So let me share with you a passage of Scripture that makes a lot of Christians uncomfortable because there's such mystery involved in this passage of Scripture. It's found in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 23. It says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Who's got that on a plaque or on a bookmark, right? Okay, we know that verse. But did you know what comes after that verse? Who are these people who have been called according to God's purpose? For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Now, there are some who take this passage and they call it the golden chain of redemption, right? They give it fancy names. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture that basically says this. God knew who you were before you were born, even like Jeremiah. That's not unique with Jeremiah. God knew you before you were born. God knew the purpose that he had for you. He knew the gifts and the talents that he would give to you. He knew the place where you would live. He knew the life that you would lead. Now, does that make you a robot? That's why Christians get upset by verses like these. I don't think it makes you a robot. I think it just means that God knows you completely. He knows you better than yourself. He knows how you will respond and how you will act. He knows the potential that lies within you if you were to turn yourself completely over to him in the power of his Holy Spirit. God knew you before you were born, and he created you the way that you are. Oz Guinness has given us a wonderful definition of calling. He says, calling is the truth that God calls us to himself so decisively that everything we are, everything we do, and everything we have is invested with special devotion, dynamism, and direction lived out as a response to his summons and his service. Do you hear what he's saying? That everything you have, everything you are, everything that you do is a result of what God has put into you. And that our calling is our response to that in life. Your calling is simply to take everything God has given you and to live it for him. To give it to him in such a way that he receives all of the glory. Jeremiah was a special case. He was called for a special day. You know, not all of us are called to say the things that Jeremiah said. However... do not minimize the truth. You have the Word of God. It's right here. You have the Word of God. It's clear. You have been known by God since before the time you were born, and he has put within you his purpose. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, his Holy Spirit is living within you, directing your steps and calling out to you. You have been called. You are known by God, chosen by God, you are gifted by God and anointed by God to do what only he can do through you. So don't waste it. Why do we waste it on such trivial things? Following our own way, doing the things that the world says are cool, right? Why? Why do we waste the potential and the calling and the anointing of God to do such trivial things? We need to heed the call and take him up on this invitation that he has given to us to shake the world around us for him. We need to be the people and the church that God has called to make a difference in this world by bringing the truth and living the truth to a generation that's fallen apart. Let's be that Jeremiah generation that's raised up by the call of God to do what only he can do for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word this morning, for the truth and the promises that you have given to us. How we thank you, Lord, that your word is not about us, but it's about you. And Father, how we thank you that you are already on a mission. You already have a purpose. And Lord, you are bringing this world to its culmination. Father, that it is your desire that we as your people would be on board with you, that we would be leading one another to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be discipling one another and growing in godliness. Father, that we are called to be your light, to be your salt to this generation. Heavenly Father, give us the strength that we need, like you gave to Jeremiah so long ago, and the promise that we will be protected by you, to step out in faith and in courage, Lord, and to be the people that you have called us to be. Father, we thank you for this reminder this morning. And Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are here, young and old. Lord, each one of us here, you have anointed us and gifted us and called us into ministry. You've given us everything we need to succeed in that. But Father, at times our faith is weak. So Lord, I pray that you might inspire us by your Holy Spirit to recognize the call and to heed it, so that our lives will matter and count for what you have them to count for, that we may step out in faith and be your people and do your work. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.